Sunday the 11th of September 2022, 10:45 service in the hall. This was the first Sunday after we lost our beloved Queen Elizabeth II, and the talk by our vicar, Reverend Martin Court, is a celebration of her life and service. The Bible reading is taken from Esther chapter 4.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Esther, chapter 4, to the end. Mordecai persuades Esther to help. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the city, wailing loud and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning amongst the Jews, with fasting, weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All of the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported back to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny. Folks, it's really great to have wonderful worship, isn't it? And we've had wonderful worship today as we can open our hearts, as they lead us to open our hearts. Can we give a little round of applause to the worship team there? That's really great. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Extraordinary times that you and I are living in. But in a sense, 96 years old, even Her Majesty Queen Liz cannot live forever in our broken world. But what we can say is the old Bruce Forsyth line. He was my favourite Bruce. What was his old line? "Didn't she do well? Didn't she do well?" And that's half our worry, isn't it? I'm sure that Charlie's a nice bloke. I've never worked with him. I have worked with Prince Andrew. We'll say nothing more there. But I've never worked with Charles. And yet we're unsure, aren't we, of what the future holds? And I think part of that is simply because the Queen is going to be such a hard act to follow. So Esther and our beloved Queen. Why have I chosen Esther? Well, a quick recap on her life. Esther takes over from the king's wife, Vashti. And she has been thrown out by the king for disobeying the king. It meant a big thing back in those days. And so she gets kicked out. But in the background of all of that, there's a top man in Jewish circles, and his name is Mordecai. Mordecai. He's like the rock star of the Jewish people of Israel. Everyone wants his autograph. But that's in the Jewish circles. And we're now with the king of Persia. This is the first Persian Empire. And remember, they rule the world, or at least they do for a time being. And the king of Persia's right-hand man is a guy called Haman. And Haman thinks that he should be the rock star. Never mind this Mordecai chap. And so what he does is he calls Mordecai and he asks him to bow down before him. Mordecai, come and prostrate yourself on the ground before me. And Mordecai says no. I mean, it's like asking a West Ham supporter to support Arsenal. It's never going to happen. And it was never going to happen. And so Haman persuades the king of Persia that these Israelites are a blight on the landscape. They need getting rid of. And the king, much more interested in golf or horse riding or whatever they did back in those days, looks up from his newspaper and kind of says, well, do whatever you want to do. He's not interested, not bothered. Nightmare. Just in the split second like that, God's own people are going to be wiped out. But actually, of course, that's never going to happen. Enter stage left, Esther, a Jewess who had been serving the king, now called forward by the king to replace his old Queen Vashti. With me so far. Now, okay, Queen Elizabeth is coming after the war has been won. World War II had already been won. But she faced lots of battles across her life. Quick recap of her life. Thrown into being queen, just as Esther had been thrown into being queen. Neither of them particularly wanted it, particularly Queen Elizabeth. But we all remember the abdication of Edward VIII, wanting to go off marry Wallace Simpson, the American divorcee. And we think of Harry and Meghan, and what's that going to be like? And, of course, the Queen had to deal with that in later life. Anyway, then King George VI dies, her father, and at the tender age of 25 years old, she's made queen of our country, 6th of February 1952. And then all those things that we remember about her, or even maybe some of the things that we've forgotten, always holding out the hand of reconciliation. She was the first monarch to visit Germany since 1913, marking the 20th anniversary of the end of World War II. Later, she would famously shake the hand of Martin McGuinness on June 2012, one of the one-time head of the IRA, the organisation that killed her cousin, Lord Mountbatten. And we forget the horror of those years of the IRA, but she ruled over them and brought reconciliation out of them. She reigned at the time of the Aberfan mining disaster. We saw that on the television last night, 1966. She stood up for human rights and equality against the backdrop of apartheid in South Africa and other parts of the world. She oversaw the Suez Canal crisis, changed the shilling into pounds, abolished the death penalty, oversaw the Falklands War, the miners' strike. She led through the Gulf War, the Middle Eastern War, more recently, of course, the Ukrainian War. And we haven't even mentioned her family, the trials and tribulations that they brought to her and still bring today, but of course now it's not her worry. And yet through it all, I think Liz Truss said, through thick and thin, that was Liz Truss's words on Thursday, she provided us with the stability and the strength we needed. She was the rock on which Great Britain was built. And she did all of that with steadfast loyalty, service and humility, said the Archbishop of Canterbury. Folks, three things very quickly that we see from both the life of our dear Queen Elizabeth and from that of Esther. And the first is this: she upheld her faith. She upheld her faith. I think without fail, every Christmas Day speech was at some point an evangelistic preach to the country, wasn't it? So often we try to hide our faith. Those awkward questions from friends and work colleagues, much easier if they don't know that we go to church. But old Liz wore it on her sleeve for all to see. She loved it when the cameras followed her into a church for a church service. Not because she was holier than thou, but because she was leading by example. She was saying to us, this is what I do on a Sunday. This is what you should be doing on a Sunday. But more than that, I think also she saw what Esther saw. That the forces around us are increasingly pulling us away from God. Haman wanted to rid the world of God's church, Israel, and therefore rid the world of God. And yet Esther and Mordecai and Elizabeth, our queen, knew that God was a living God. Israel had seen God's hand at work defeating marauding armies and kingdoms that threatened their existence, coming against them, just as we have seen God defeat counselors and councils in recent years here in St. Chad's. In 1992, Queen Elizabeth thanked all those who had been praying for her, saying that those prayers had sustained her across her many years, calling on the living God to help, to support, to lead her as she led us. Carl R. Truman, who didn't really like the monarchy at all, wrote about a difference that he saw in this queen. Humility, love for others, a sense of what is right, instead of the individualistic, I can do what I want stance that so many live their lives by. He said this, some of this was no doubt due to her quiet but serious Christian faith. A friend who once had the privilege of being a royal chaplain and spending a weekend at Balmoral Castle with her confirmed that the conversations he had with the Queen revealed her to be thoughtful and a devout Christian. As a humble Christian, she took her earthly vocation seriously, placing the needs of the office and of the people that she ruled over before her own. Friends, do we uphold our faith? Do we stand up against things that lead to injustice in our society? Do we stand up for what we believe is right? And make no mistake, that means holding a line. That means making some difficult decisions sometimes. The Queen would have sanctioned the move to arms in the Falklands or Afghanistan or wherever. But her heart was the same of that directs the use of force in our country today. Use only such force as is necessary to prevent terror, to prevent evil, to promote peace. And ultimately, she knew that God would overcome, and that he would overcome with love. You know, she used to quote the Bible quite a lot. The parable that she most often quoted was the parable of the Good Samaritan. She said this, "It's not very difficult to apply that story to our own times, and to work out that our neighbours are those of our friends or complete strangers who need a helping hand. Do you think they might also be some of the living species threatened by spoiled rivers? Or some of the children in places like Ethiopia and the Sudan who don't have enough to eat? It would be splendid to think that in the last years of the 20th century, Christ's message about loving our neighbours as ourselves might be at last heeded." She also said this, "Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships and it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love." Her Majesty Elizabeth the Queen II upheld her faith at all times. Do we? And do we do it as effectively as she did? Number two, she was committed to her call. On her 21st birthday in 1947, Elizabeth said this, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of your great imperial family to which we all belong." Folks, that is dedication, isn't it? That is a declaration of intent. What does that sacrifice look like? Well, if we go back to the book of Esther, what were the last words that we heard from our reading today? They were these. "Then Esther sent his reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And then when this is done, I will go to the king." Remember, that's against the law. "When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." We have trouble getting people to go on a coffee rota. And she's going to give her life to the service of the people. To give your life, to be prepared to give your life to God. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why did she do that? Why did the queen do that? Friends, I believe the answer is found in the ability to step outside of your own life and to see the lives of those around you and how they're living. William Booth walked through the streets of London and he saw poverty like he had never seen before. Alcoholism, rape, pillage, murder. He knew of poverty. He had come from a wealthy family. But his father, Samuel Booth, lost his way. They lost everything. And maybe that was the incentive to William Booth. He started, of course, Salvation Army to reach out. He dedicated his life through the Salvation Army to helping others because he stepped out of his own life just for a while and saw the plight of those around him. Esther did the same. Queen of Persia. Servants running at her beck and call. Fine food. Do what you want. Never mind Keir Starmer and Boris Johnson having parties in the lockdown. She could party whenever she wanted to. But Mordecai asked her to look over her shoulder, have a look and see what's happening to your people outside the palace door. Don't forget where you've come from. Peter Sarzett sang that about Sophia Loren, 1969, in his song, Where Do You Go To, My Lovely? I wonder if anybody's old enough to remember it. I love that song. Sophia Loren was born into absolute poverty in Naples, worked her way up to the high life. France banned the song. Great song. I don't know if Sophia Loren ever did look back over her shoulder and help the people from where she had come herself, but Esther did, to see the plight of the people, the fate of the people at Haman's hands, and so she gave herself fully, fully to the cause. In 2020, and speaking again of her favourite parable, Queen Elizabeth II said this, "We continue to be inspired by the kindness of strangers and draw comfort that even on the darkest of nights there is hope in the new dawn." Jesus touched on this with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man who is robbed and left at the roadside is saved by somebody who did not even share his religion or culture. This wonderful story of kindness is still as relevant today. Good Samaritans have emerged across society, showing care and respect for all, regardless of gender, race, or background, reminding us that each and every one of us is special and equal in the eyes of God. Queen Elizabeth II could have kept herself surrounded by opulence and comfort. Our greatest fear is that Charles is going to do exactly that. But her heart was for others. As one commentator said, she never saw the monarchy as a platform for her own ends, but as a place to reach out from with the love of Christ. She upheld her faith. She was committed to her call. And then lastly, for I must finish, she had a servant heart. A servant heart. On the weekend away, we had a bit of fun. We had a quiz about dear old Queenie. And we reminded ourselves of this. She's reigned for 70 years. 70 years. At the age of 96, she's still working. People are trying to retire at 50 and 60 these days, aren't they? She's nearly double that. And she's still working her socks off. Rare to find a 40-year-old who stayed in the same job for over 10 years these days. She's done 70 in the same job. Head of state of 15 countries. In 1980 alone, she visited 6 different countries, bigging up the UK and building trade relations. In her 70 years, she hosted over 150 heads of state here. She has 686 royal warrants, you know, those by the appointment of Her Majesty the Queen. But through all those meetings and welcomes and official duties, it was her service that shone through. And I keep coming back to it because you can't get away from it. Truman writes this, "In a world that was increasingly embracing casual disrespect, exhibiting a perverse pleasure of repudiating any notion of duty, and accepting uncouth behaviour among its ruling classes, she stood out as reflecting a better, more civilised philosophy of public life." He ended with this, "We British are diminished by her passing, and the world is surely diminished too. Having lost one of its precious few heads of state who is worthy of respect. May she rest in peace. We shall not see her like again in my lifetime, I fear." Friends, I'll end with this, and I ask myself these same questions that I'm asking you today, because each and every one of us has stood before this great woman, the Esther of our day. Can we stay true to God as Queen Elizabeth stayed true to God right across her whole life? She never let go. Her head was never turned from the kingdom. Live our lives upholding our faith, really being beacons of Christ's light in a darkened world. That's the call. Can you do that in your office tomorrow? Can you do that in your family? Can you do that around your Christmas dinner table? Can you do it in your street when you go shopping? Can we be committed to the call that God places on our life? And it will be different for each and every one of us. She had a particular call on her life. I've got a particular call on my life. You've got a particular call on your lives. but also collectively, we have a call on our life as St. Chad's Church to reach out with the unswerving love that she reached out with to support our community in greater ways. That will only happen if we all of us stand up in our call, not just come on a Sunday morning, but be available to reach out, to be Jesus' hands and his feet and his voice. Can we live out that call like she lived out her call? Can we grasp that servant heart and live for others as she tirelessly did across a wonderful 96 years? Elizabeth Alexandra Mary, Queen Elizabeth II. May she rest in peace and rise in glory. And may we follow her good example of how to live a life well. Amen.